This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Hospital Radio for Northumberland and North Tyneside.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
A shift has taken place with our readings today. A few weeks ago, we were looking at events surrounding Jesus' birth, baptism, and early ministry. But today, with the season of Lent approaching, our readings will be helping us to look forward to Jesus' death and resurrection over the next few weeks. I'm opening our programme today with the most glorious hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. I think you'll enjoy this one, and it is a fitting song of praise for our theme today, the Transfiguration of Jesus.
Come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flame tongues above. Praise his name, I'm fixed upon it, the name of God's redeeming love. Hitherto thy love has blessed me, thou hast drawn me to this place, and I know thy to rescue me from danger, bought me with his precious blood.
Our Bible reading today is taken from Matthew 17, verses 1 to 9. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said, don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Let's listen to Candy Pearson singing, He Leadeth Me.
He leadeth me, oh blessed thought, oh, works with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Seems of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still over troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me.
Disagree over whether this mountain was Mount Hermon or Mount Tabor, but whichever one it was a place of solitude. There on that mountain, these disciples, Peter, James, and John, saw for themselves a metamorphosis, a change in Jesus' appearance. His garments became radiant, Jesus' face shone rather like the glare of sunlight. He was transfigured, and the disciples were overcome with awe. They may not have quite understood at the time, but they never forgot their unique mountaintop experience, and were to speak of it years later in Scripture. It clearly had a profound effect upon them. Later, John would come to say in chapter 1:14 of his Gospel, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only." And Peter, later in the second of his letters, chapter 1, would write these words, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honour and glory from God the Father when the voice came from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. Let's listen to a hymn entitled, "You Are the King of Glory," which reflects the disciples' vivid memories of the transfiguration that day on the mountain. The hymn is written by Mavis Ford and is sung here by Ingrid Dumas.
You are the King of Glory. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the Lord of heaven and earth. You're the Son of righteousness. You are the King of Glory. You are the Prince of Peace. Son of righteousness. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Glory in the highest heavens, for Jesus the Messiah reigns. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Glory in the highest heavens, for Jesus the Messiah.
Also in this story, we witness something of the revelation of who Jesus really was and is. Many have claimed throughout history that Jesus was merely a good man, a notable teacher, a worker of good deeds. Some claim today in a very familiar way of having him as a friend and brother. But here in today's reading, we see how the disciples were given a wonderful picture preview of the one who had come to be known as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Scripture tells us that Jesus' divine nature had been veiled or curtained in human form. But here at the top of the mountain, Peter, James and John saw through and beyond the veil to a glimpse of his future glory. But not only that, Moses the lawgiver and Elijah the prophet also appeared by Jesus' side and talked with him. When the disciples offered to mark the very spot with permanent shelters, God's voice sounded from heaven, just as it did at his baptism, repeating once more, "This is my Son, listen to him." I wonder, are we listening out for the voice of Jesus today? Do we even know what he had to say to the world then? Perhaps we're living in the times when we need to begin to listen afresh. Here's a song called "These Are the Days of Elijah."
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert crying, "Prepare the trumpet call." And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming his flesh. And these are the days of your servant David rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. Oh, the fields are as wide in your world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord.
I wonder if you would like to come with me up this mountain this morning by way of a prayerful meditation set to music, to an instrumental piece called Erin Shaw by The Cause from their album Forgiven, Not Forgotten. Imagine that Jesus is walking right here in full view, asking us to follow him, to walk in his footsteps. Picture him looking around, seeking out those who would be his disciples. Which of us will go with him to the high place? Who will ascend the mountain of the Lord? Scripture would say, he that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, or sworn by what is false. How mentally prepared are we for such a journey? Let's leave behind our excess baggage and go with him. And so we join him and begin the journey together, cautiously, wondering where Jesus is about to take us. Stumbling and falling, we climb on, higher and higher, into the cool mountain air. We turn and gaze at the view lying so far in the distance. We drink in all the beauty round us. We journey on, trusting Jesus every step of the way, wondering what's in store. What does he want to show us? What will he tell us? What lies in wait for us here in the lonely place? Are any of us feeling afraid or confused? No, we strengthen one another. Are we feeling worn out and exhausted by the climb? No, we encourage one another. The air gradually becomes thinner or breathing more laboured. Do we feel like giving up or at least sitting down and resting? No, we spur each other on and we don't stop to grumble or moan. Quite simply, we decide to follow Jesus every step of the way as he leads us on to the summit. Quite soon we come to a place of sudden and eerie stillness. We're told to wait and go no further, so we watch Jesus closely to see what will happen next. He goes some distance from us and slowly turns to face us. But just then the sun emerges through the mist. The face of Jesus suddenly begins to glow and shine like the sun's rays. His eyes become a glowing fire. His hair becomes as white as the snow. His robes, his image become brighter until we're almost blinded. Two figures approach him and begin to talk with him. They resemble holy men of old. They resemble the old prophet Elijah and the giver of the law Moses. Is this who they are? Who knows what they say? We strain to hear, but we cannot make out every word. Are they words of pain or joy? Of suffering or rejoicing? Of strange forebodings or of future glory? Of freedom and proclamation? Are they words of prophecy only for the years of our Lord, Whatever they're saying, this is indeed for us a very special moment. Hearts are racing, beating so fast. We knew we had to come to a higher plane, a higher level, and we are lost in worship and praise. We resolved to build three permanent memorials, ones that will be built to last. Here on the Holy Mountain, we will mark the very spot of this transfiguration and hold it in our minds forever. We will stay here. But just then, a cloud overshadows us, and all grows dark. As we hear a voice from heaven booming out, "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Some days before, Jesus had been telling the disciples of his coming death, and he had told them that some of them would not taste death themselves until they had seen the kingdom come in glory. This glory they experienced on the mountain was but a foretaste, looking to a time when Jesus' disciples too would undergo a revolutionary transformation by the Holy Spirit after Jesus' death and resurrection at Pentecost. But now the thought of erecting permanent shelters for worship were put to one side. For the disciples, it was a time to rejoin the real world down the mountain. It's so tempting today too for people who go through exciting conversion experiences, often referred to as mountaintop experiences, to want to remain in the moment forever, just like those disciples did. But there's much to be accomplished way back down on the plain. Peter's ideas almost got in the way of Jesus' plan for him and others in the world. What was now important was for them to listen and obey, not just stand still in awe. Author John Ortberg once wrote, "There's a way of living that leads to stagnation and boredom, where sinful patterns of behaviour never get confronted and changed, abilities and gifts never get cultivated and deployed, deep, intimate, gut-wrenchingly honest conversations never take place, and weeks become months and months turn to years, and one day we're looking back on a life of great, bold prayers we never prayed, exhilarating rides we never took, sacrificial gifts we never gave, lives we never touched, and we're sitting in a recliner with a shriveled soul and forgotten dreams, and we realised there was a world of desperate need and a great God calling us to be part of something bigger than ourselves." Let's finish today with a hymn called The Touching Place, composed by John Bell. It's a hymn which reminds us to see Christ in everyone, and to come alongside them in their need. Bye for now.
Christ is the world in which we move. Christ are the folk we're summoned to. Christ is the one who meets us here.
Through the cross, Christ shows his grace. To the unloved, he gives his embrace. Grace.
Christ makes with his